get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I am a good person.
You know, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Welcome back in, Cube Show Sports Radio, 730 and 103.9 The Ump. We're getting people tweeting in saying that the Pat Dye story's dead and we shouldn't be going there, so let's switch gears and go to our good friend.
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you?
We're doing well. Kind of a scary morning when you look at what's happening in London and D.C. It's just that we haven't really spent a lot of time on it because the news is just sort of breaking. But this is nuts what's going on right now.
Yeah, I can't believe that this is even a real sentence. It feels like something on House of Cards. This doesn't seem like real life.
And I think the scariest part is we mentioned it with you in the break, a high-powered rifle involved here. But 50 shots fired, like that's...
Well, for those who don't know, there's a shooting in Washington, D.C., where there's a GOP baseball game, a charity baseball game happening, and one of the representatives had been shot. He's in, I think, stable condition, I think now you say 50 shots fired. It does feel like House of Cards. It's really, really crazy.
Conrad, I'm struggling with 50 shots fired. It feels like a lot.
It is a lot. And I don't know, man. When I first saw this on Twitter, I thought, I mean, this is a storyline from a TV show. And then I clicked over and saw Dale Jackson's feed, and he's got text messages from Mo Brooks. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is real. So then I threw it in my Google machine, and it's like, how is this? I don't know what's going on, man. What a weird time to be in America.
I agree. Senator Flake said we could see Steve Scalise out on the field. He had dragged himself after he was shot, trying to get off the field. I mean, I'm just – even high-powered rifle, semi-automatic, 50 shots, that's a pretty long period of time in between that's going to take place. It's unbelievable.
It really is. It's and, you know, the whole – London fire yesterday. It's just, man, there's a lot going on. I don't know what to say, man.
Yeah, very scary. You'll be out of town this weekend, right? You got a big deal coming up in St.
Well, I don't know if it's a big deal, but yeah, we're doing a live podcast. Bruce Pritchard and I are bringing something to wrestle to St. Louis, and we'll be visiting with our old great friend of the show, Mr. Dave Green. So it'll be fun to catch up with Dave. Enjoy some St. Louis barbecue and try to make some people laugh and make fun of Bruce.
Is that your go-to in St. Louis is barbecue?
No, I was just trying to think about what they do up there, and I think they do barbecue.
No, I think they do have it. I'm trying to think. I mean, like, I know there's a difference in, like, Texas barbecue and Carolina barbecue, but I don't know what the difference would be. I know Kansas City is supposed to be, like, a big barbecue town. I've been to St. Louis, through St. Louis a few times to get to Como, but I haven't had the barbecue, so I'll be interested to see sort of how that goes, especially since you've had some of the best here in Alabama.
My Twitter feed blows up with recommendations for barbecue, but you're exactly right. I think we're spoiled with Big Bob Gibson's over in Decatur and Moe's Original. I don't know if they're advertisers, but they should be.
Dreamland Barbecue is the best.
You and I tweet about them all the time. Oh, and who could forget that delicious banana pudding from Dreamland Barbecue? Get yours. Multiple locations throughout the state. On University Drive in Huntsville. Tell them Cole Kublick sent you.
Ain't nothing like them nowhere. DreamlandBBQ.com. And no, if you're good, and if you're looking for a little extra cash on Father's Day, it's easy to find savings this weekend. I know you guys are even open on the weekends, Conrad, but First Family Mortgage is trying to help put extra dollars in your pocket.
Yeah, I think a lot of people maybe lose sight of that, but we open up each morning at 6 o'clock. We're here until 9 o'clock at night, and we're even open on Saturday. And we're doing this because we want to make it easy for you to save money. You don't have to, you know, work around our banker's hours, so to speak. We want this to be easy, and doesn't get any easier than this. Call us right now on your ride to work. Spend 10 minutes with us on the phone, and if we can't save you some cash, we won't waste your time. But it's not even a matter of if. It really is a matter of how much. We just helped the Steve's family go ahead and save more than $400 a month. He's a manager, she's a teacher, and they needed to go ahead and get rid of $13,000 worth of credit card debt. We helped them do that, but at the same time, get a better mortgage. What made it better? Well, they're getting out of debt faster. They cut years off their loan. And in the process, of course, we got them a better interest rate. You can do this too. Stop overpaying your single biggest bill and take a summer vacation from your bills. No more credit card payments, no more house payments. You're done for both July and August. We'll see you September 1st with a cheaper monthly payment. Punch it in your phone right now. It's 425-0105.
Is that the Steve Stevens family you just helped save money for?
I wish it was, but it's actually not. I think his name is Matt, and we appreciate Matt and the opportunity to earn his business. But if you call First Family Mortgage, you too can be an absolute blowout winner.
Great stuff, Conrad. Look forward to catching up tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Conrad Thompson with First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com. I'm struggling getting past, and I understand that. I think this was this the game or practice that these guys, it's a basically Republicans versus Democrats, a charity baseball game. Dale Jackson just came in during the break, told us they do this every year. I think they were practicing for it, but 50 shots fired by a high powered rifle. I struggle to think about how you could get to where you could even attempt this with that kind of a weapon, just based on the proximity where you were. And just to unload 50 rounds, that to me is unthinkable.
Well,
in a public place like this, it's extremely scary.
Yeah, and we've been focused on other things this morning, and you know, as part of our job, and also, I mean, you know, we can't just be, you know, a willing participant to every single story that happens out there, even sort of the breaking ones like this. But I did see that Mo Brooks was saying to Dale or to someone that he saw the gunman behind third base and then unloaded 50 to 100 shots, which seems like a lot. Seems like a lot to be able to get around. And listen, I see these stories happen are happening every day in other parts of the world, in London, here, in the Middle East. Obviously, it happens every single day. In Germany, it's just I don't know what to do every time. I get a little desensitized to it, but like I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I feel like there's a real reason to live out of fear every single day. I mean, talking about House of Cards. I mean, remember now one season at the end of the season, they were just trying to terrorize everybody, just trying to make everybody feel unsafe. And going into the most recent season, they're doing that too. It just feels like a plot by someone just to make people feel unsafe.
Yeah.
Really, really, really weird in a really, really scary. Bad time.
Very scary. Let's get to 10 After Tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Dan Strickland, at BamaDan3 tweets, at Cube Show. I'm no Pat Dye apologist, but this seems like a pretty dead horse. Maybe Bobby Lauder and Mike DeBoe's hot takes next. See, I told you, man, hot takes is not a positive thing. When people go hot take, they're hating on you. I don't know why you continue to think that when people say, oh, it's such a hot take, that's a positive.
I don't think it's a positive. I just don't think it's always a negative. I mean, a hot take usually, for what I've always thought, is to be a very fresh, very sometimes counterculture, but just a different take. Sometimes people use it to make fun of. This is not a hot take. I'm just telling you, Pat Dye's an awful person.
Some people deserve to
be. That's all I'm telling you.
Some people need to be reminded of what has taken place.
Pat Dye is telling you, as a brand ambassador, as a guy who got the team on probation, hey, oh, by the way, we'll never be as good as Alabama. What are you doing? This isn't just for Bama Dan 3. This isn't for just one or two people. These are people for the people listening who love Pat Dye, love because he's associated with Auburn. That's all it is. And listen, if you don't like it, not everything on the show is going to be for everybody, Dan. I'm sorry. My Mike DuBose takes, they're coming up after this segment, okay? I got a hot one coming. I got a Franchione one tomorrow.
I've been working
on this thing for 3 weeks. This is Franchione one I got.
Travis Brown responds Benny Snell to our Cole question of the day, which is, what SEC running back would you draft first to start for your college football team this fall? Mike Sparkman tweets in at RedAssArchy, making an appearance this morning, hashtag entertained.
And sometimes we just...
No, he said entertained. He's saying he likes
that's
it.
That's fine. Sometimes our job is to educate people. Sometimes our job is to make sure that you know what you're doing is blind loyalism to something that you shouldn't be. Sometimes we have to throw it out. Because if we can make fun of Bud Bama, because Alabama fans do this to everything, we can sure as hell make fun of Auburn fans for being Bud Dye when Pat Dye is out there just talking on radio shows when he's a stumbling, bumbling buffoon who got your team on probation and somehow is still getting paid by the university, is an advisor, got the football field named after him, and later on is in these Eric Ramsey tapes.
I think that list is the number of those people you're mentioning is dwindling. And not just because of your rant today.
I hope people are becoming, and I hope so. I hope so. We probably have lost our chance to get Pat Dye on the show.
There was never a chance.
But that's okay.
I previously have been a part of a show that would beg me to have him on each week, and I vehemently turned it down. Big Bill D tweets, Bo spends too much time in the medical tent. Bama B. Ritz tweets, at Cube Show, keep it down home, cuz. Which apparently Ed Bradley needs to translate for 60 minutes viewers.
Keep it down home, cuz, means keep it quiet. Yes, of course, Ed Bradley. We mean keep it down home. I mean, take it to your mom.
Dan Strickland also tweets in at Cube Show, Pat Dye came in, quote, from an eye appointment. That's code, right?
When I was at Auburn and he came in. I don't know what that's code for. Because he did have these giant old man goggles. He came in. After he had his eye. Listen.
Chris Crow tweets in at Cube Show, sounds like Ad Archie Shea about to get in a Tebow mood. Hashtag crunk.
Listen, if there's two hot button issues I have, and if you want to get me angry on Twitter, there's actually three of them. One is Michael Jordan memes, crying Jordan face memes. The other is Tebow. The other is Pat Dye. I don't get everyone's infatuation. I just don't understand why you would want to love someone that does that to you. Why do you want to love someone who abuses you?
William Roberts tweets in Damian Harris.
Okay, that is acceptable as other.
Bama B. Rich tweets, maybe Steve recorded the Goodtree interview and Kenwell, you know the rest. Yeah, we do, and that's not real. Red Lightning tweets in, when I think of the GOP game, I picture a bunch of old guys in business suits playing baseball. Hashtag blue ties versus red ties.
That would be kind of fun to watch. I don't know if they do that. You know what I've been for a long time trying to get here, and we just don't have enough bodies for it. Because, well, you know. There is, I've been wanting to, you know how these, like, they'll have company softball games? Like, they'll have company softball leagues. Like, I want Cumulus to have a softball league where I can go play in it. Like, you almost got kicked off the team for playing in the softball league when you were at Auburn.
But it's very, very true. attempted to have me suspended, and thankfully Tuberville laughed at that.
But I always wanted to be able to like go take on, like, I don't know, Burger King or whoever's across the candy place, the Russell Stover place that's right next door or something. Preston's Westernware versus Cumulus.
We would smash them. I don't know about Preston's Western Wear. They might be able to compete. They might have some guys that can hit. But Russell Stover's, I feel like we smashed them.
Yeah, I think it would make sense. Because I've been in there once. A lot of older women working there.
Yeah, I feel good about our chances there.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't know why we can't. Maybe it's because we don't have enough bodies. But if we had like, it had to be like intergender, like co-ed.
Or co-ed.
Yeah.
Intergender sounds really gross, by the way.
Is that what Caitlyn Jenner is? Intergender?
I think he did that before had it removed.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You enter your gender, and then you one day decide you just don't want it anymore.
Delete gender. I've always wanted to do that. Like, I know you can join softball leagues to, like, just sort of be with some friends or some guys who you just join up with. But I've always heard of, when I grew up, I always heard of these company softball games. I thought, man, it's going to be awesome to be working for a place that can have a company softball game. And I got nothing here. Yeah,
not many people really do that anymore.
I know. I got nothing. I'm 31. I'm
it's
in the
liability insurance, man. People don't have to pay for injuries.
I'm in the prime of my physical life. I've never.
Wow.
I'm ready.
Wow.
To play some softball.
Dan Strickland tweets that cowboy boot store would bring it in softball, I think. I do too. Jason May tweets, we need a at Arkishay crying Jordan in a Tebow jersey.
Oh, okay.
I'll add to that standing on Pat Dye Field. Somebody make that. I can't do Photoshop, but somebody's got to be able to Photoshop junk.
Like just over my shoulder says Pat Dye Field.
Yeah, like the little sign that's on the side of the stadium.
Bama Danthry says.
God, I'd love to be the AD. That'd be my first move.
Bama
Danthry. Rip that sign down.
Bama Danthry says, yeah, I know it's all for me. Sideways, smiley face.
You're welcome. Slim, at Investor Slim, tweets in Benny Snell. So he would be our leader in the clubhouse as far as guys who are not on our list of the Cole question of the day.
By the way,
if you want to vote,
sure. Sorry.
Pinned atop at Cube Show, the show's Twitter account. Which SEC running back would you draft first to play on your college football team this fall? You can reply with other hashtag Cole question of the day presented by at Dreamland BBQ. Father's Day right around the corner. Go hit dreamlandbbq.com. Darius Geis, still your leader, 395 votes, but just 39% of the vote now. Bo Scarborough, 30. Cam Petway, 26. Nick Chubb, just 5%. Wow.
That does feel low. But remember, Nick Chubb was all the rage like a couple of years ago. Like Nick Chubb was like, you see him jump? You see how high he can jump? You're like, okay, I get it, brother.
Did you see him jump?
Wait, you remember that photo?
No, I do. It's like running track in high school. He jumped over the other guy's head. Which, by the way, if you go for a look at like box jumps, people flip out about box jumps.
Oh, people love them, man.
60% of that is like hip flexibility and hip mobility. You're not getting your entire body up there. You're just jumping and getting your feet there.
Yeah.
So it's more flexibility. Like guys aren't vertical jumping 86 inches, but you can box jump an 86-inch box jump.
Right. Like
it's all flexibility.
When you go to the NFL Combine, there aren't guys doing 86-inch vertical jumps.
Right. Like everyone
flips. Because I tracked that guy today.
Adrian Wilson box jumps 89 inches, but his vertical at the Combine was 42. Something's not adding up here.
Did he get hurt in the last couple of weeks? Because I remember seeing a video where he was 47 inches better.
Valley Equipment Rental is always better for you. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com, valleyequipmentrents.com for all your heavy equipment needs, all your yard work, all your projects, all your construction sites around North Alabama. Valley Equipment Rental is here to help. 3551 South Memorial Parkway. They're down South Memorial Parkway, almost there by Airport Road. You've seen all the equipment out front, and they just purchased over $1 million in brand new equipment this year. It's there for you to go choose from, or go to valleyequipmentrents.com, and you can see everything they have to offer there. Call Tanner and Ross and the guys today, 256-964-6081, 964-6081. Tell them what your project is, what you think you need, and then these guys are actually going to get you exactly what you need at the price that you need as well. Valley Equipment Rental, valleyequipmentrents.com, 256-964-6081. We're back with Laura Rutledge of the SEC Network next. Welcome back into Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Umpsports.com. Every Wednesday, we welcome in our good friend, Laura Rutledge of ESPN and the SEC Network to the show. Laura, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Our Cole question of the day today is, if you could draft one SEC running back to play for your college football team this coming fall, who would it be? Our options, and you can reply with others, so if you have a different one that you want.
Darius Geis.
Okay. Well, he was number one on the list, so I didn't even have to run through our options for you. How big of a gap do you think there is between Geis and the other backs? Because we've got – there are 7,000-yard rushers running backs. There's actually eight with Nick Fitzgerald. But there have only been three returning the last 2 years in the SEC. So we've more than doubled the amount of 1,000-yard rushers coming back in this league. How big is the gap, do you think, between Geis and the rest of the backs in the league?
I don't think it's that big. But here's the thing. To me, you know, the next in line would be a fully healthy Nick Chubb, which I don't know that we're ever going to see that again. And it's not that Nick Chubb can't be incredibly effective even when he's not 100%, but after dealing with some of the injuries that he's dealt with, I'm not sure if he's exactly the same back that, you know, he was at one point when people were talking about potentially him being in the Heisman conversation. So to me, the gap is not that big, but it just depends on the health of these other backs, and especially when we're talking about Nick Chubb, depends on his health.
Do you think that if Georgia is going to contend in the East, and I know they have that 1-2 punch with Sony Michel and also Elijah Holyfield, he showed some signs last year that he can be a quality SEC back, but is Georgia contending? Is it going to come down to maybe they have to have a Nick Chubb get back to being sort of a dominant back in this league?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the reason why is if you look at teams that have contended, you know, in the past, it's had a lot to do with the running back spot. And that's not, you know, some sort of breaking news over here. But I do think that when you don't have a quarterback who is been fully allowed to become comfortable in this league, which I'm not sure if you ever do at the quarterback spot, but you know, when you look at Jacob Eason, he really hasn't had a chance to be fully comfortable with a dominant back because of injuries to Nick Chubb and Sony Michel as well. So if we're talking about a Georgia team that, and I think either way they may be able to contend in the East, even if they don't have those pieces, but if they have a fully healthy Nick Chubb and then, like you mentioned, kind of the 1-2 punch combination of him and Sony Michel, maybe Elijah Holyfield part of that, plus Jacob Eason and Eason being allowed to be more comfortable, I think we're talking about a team that really can be a force to be reckoned with, not just in the SEC East, but maybe on the national level as well.
We asked this question earlier. Beard Salee was with us. He actually asked me this. He asked, what defense are you most confident in the SEC East going into this season? It's intriguing because when I look at all of these defenses, Laura, there's kind of a consistent theme with almost every team in the league, and that's just that there was serious talent depleted from the front seven of almost every SEC team this fall. And you look especially at teams like LSU, Florida, Alabama, Texas A&M, Auburn, heavy hitters going to be gone from those defensive lines and linebacking cores. Is there a group in the East, though, that you would maybe feel more comfortable that could be one of the better defenses in college football this fall in the SEC East?
That's a tough one, and I'd be interested to know what you said, because I think at this point we are looking at a lot of unproven talent. I mean, you know, Florida's recruited well, but a lot of their big-time talent was under Will Muschamp, as we know. What about Vandy? You know, Vandy looked pretty good last year. They did lose some pieces, but it, to me, if we're looking at a team that, you know, at least has been able to almost succeed despite not having some of the pieces that everybody else has, just basically based off of coaching from Derek Mason, I might put Vandy in that conversation. Georgia, to me, should be a team that we should look out for there too. But, yeah, there's a lot of unproven talent on that side of the ball at this point. We may see some freshmen really have a chance to contribute, especially in the East at this point.
And that's where I think coaching comes into play. And I threw out Georgia just because – I think Trent Thompson, if he's back, if he's healthy, if he's got his mind right, can be a dominant force at defensive tackle. That linebacking core got better as the season went on. Bellamy on the edge can be a guy who can cause some problems. There's not a lot of earth-shattering players over there, but I do think with the staff that Kirby Smart has and schematically what they want to do, it gives them a little bit of the edge. Like Florida, I'm actually higher on Florida's D-line than a lot of other people are. I think Tavian Bryan and some of those guys coming back, Clark, I think, is going to be a really good defensive tackle. But Jeff Collins gone, so we don't really know how different they're going to look, and they lost a ton of talent. You bring up Vandy, and that's one that I think where coaching would come in, since Derek Mason has said, hey, I'm going back to just running the defense. That's going to be my deal again.
Yeah, it's worked.
They've gotten a lot better, but Adam Butler was huge up front for them. Zach Cunningham, obviously, an all-world right. playmaker for them. So I'll be intrigued to see what that group looks like this fall.
Yeah, me too. And I think you're right. When we're talking about teams that really don't have, you know, the talent that they had previously, and they're looking at kind of a bare cupboard, it's an opportunity for a lot of players to step up, but it's also an opportunity for coaching to really come into play. I mean, I think you look at teams like Florida last year, teams like LSU, as you mentioned, and even Alabama to a certain extent, although I don't think they even really apply in this conversation because they continue to reload so consistently. I'm not taking anything away from the coaching, but it's hard not to have success when you've got dudes like that. You know, it's really hard guys are healthy and they look like some of those teams looked, especially like you mentioned in the front seven, it's hard not to be dominant. A lot of those teams were.
And you mentioned maybe coaching is a big portion of at least defensive football in the East. I mean, I look at South Carolina with Muschamp and T-Rob and Lance Thompson. Those guys know how to formulate a winning product on that side of the football. Just don't know if they have the guys right now to really compete week in and week out. You know, I think Kentucky is a group that I'm not in love with their defensive line. I don't think they're very athletic, but super active at linebackers, a couple of really good corners, and of course,
Jordan Jones coming back. He's set up to have a monster year at linebacker for Kentucky. They actually may be a team that could surprise some people, especially with Stoops and his defensive mindset. I mean, that, you know, there could be. I think Kentucky could surprise some people offensively, too, but especially defensively. I don't think anyone's really considered them in a lot of ways, and they do have some returning guys that were pretty sneaky good last year. I think kind of flew under the radar a little bit, but were very good.
No, Denzel Ware is a guy who can get it off the edge. He's more of an outside linebacker than a true defensive end than what we think of like an Arden Key or a Carl Lawson. But I agree with you. I've got Kentucky with a top three finish in the East right now. And a lot of that is because of the schedule. I don't know if you've taken a peek at their schedule or not.
Oh, it sets up very well for them. I think they could be in the conversation for making it to Atlanta when we get to that point in the season.
Now, I've said Saturday, October 28th, when they play Tennessee at Kroger Field. And keep in mind, Lar, they're undefeated against Tennessee at Kroger Field. But I think they go into that game with a chance to play their way into the SEC title game. Now, still a lot of work to do. That's Tennessee, Ole Miss, Vandy, Georgia still left on the schedule. But I don't think Kentucky's ever been in the mix in late October to play their way into Atlanta before, so that'd be a big accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah, and when you look at Georgia, I mean, we expect Georgia to be at least a contender in the East, and it seems like they should be. But if at that point in the season they've run into trouble, or even if they haven't, if for some reason it's coming down to that game or something like that, or at least that game factors in, I mean, Kentucky is going to be incredibly motivated. And I think they're going to be good. Yeah, I really think they are a team that people are not going to want to play this year. And I think it's sort of been that way in the past. It was almost like, well, you don't want to lose to Kentucky. You know, you got to bring it in this one. They're now a team that really has talent, and I think they've been waiting to get to that point, and they're hungry, they're ready to go. I mean, they're a little bit scary for some teams, in my opinion.
Speaking of SEC teams, three going to the College World Series out of the SEC. You've covered Omaha. You've been there. What is different for these baseball teams about playing in Omaha? What changes for your ball club when you get into that setting?
Well, I mean, first of all, this is the goal. You know, from day one, I mean, I remember back in January interviewing a lot of these teams, and everybody just said, you want to get to Omaha. And it's not just getting to Omaha, but you want to win in Omaha. And I think it's incredible when you look just how difficult it is to get there. I mean, look at some of the paths that these teams had to take, Florida especially, with crazy rain and all kinds of ridiculousness, even in regionals. I mean, Bethune-Cookman had them on the ropes. Like, they're a team that has continually clawed their way somehow, some way, to get back to this point. And they've done it with incredible talent. It just seems like their offense hasn't clicked at times. It's interesting because when you get to Omaha, the park definitely factors in. And teams who have lived by home runs, lived by the long ball throughout the season, a lot of times struggle because you've got to be able to manufacture offense there in such a pitcher's park, which certainly plays in Florida's favor a little bit. But I would say it's actually pretty beneficial for all three of these SEC teams in Texas A&M, LSU, and Florida that are making it to Omaha, because none of them are really teams that live by the long ball. I mean, they can certainly hit them, but it's not something that really their offense lives and dies by. So I think this is a really good opportunity. These three teams are the best teams possibly make it there. If we had been talking about maybe an Arkansas or something potentially getting there, that would have been a little more difficult for them, possibly, you know, to get some offense going. But either way, it's just the biggest stage, and it's so much fun. And I'm excited for every team that's there. I'm excited for the matchups. And we've got some really great matchups this year.
What can you say to maybe help explain in an elementary sense the Major League Baseball draft for some of our listeners who aren't really educated in it, because we talked to you about your husband, Josh, before the season, and there was some like supplemental free agent, forgot about you draft. We didn't even, I never even heard of that thing that you told us about. And we
the
see
rule five.
I'm reading off guys who were drafted from like the Carlos Beltran School of Baseball. And it, I mean, it's hard to even keep up with what's happening in that thing.
I know. The draft is weird. The one thing I would say for people who maybe aren't that familiar with it, the thing about Major League Baseball is that they have so many holes to fill. They just need such a sheer quantity of guys. And it's like, you know, you're looking at players and you're thinking, okay, maybe we can get this guy in this round and maybe he's still here. And, you know, the differences between first, second, and third round guys really are not that significant. It was funny because I was talking to Josh about the draft and he said that the Red Sox, they were all kind of hanging around in the clubhouse watching it a little bit. And they all said, you know, what you don't realize at this point in time is the draft just really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're drafted. It's all about how are you going to be able to succeed in pro ball, which is incredibly difficult. And I think we see a lot of great athletes not able to succeed in pro ball. So it's kind of just a crapshoot when it all comes down to it, because you just really don't know where people are going to end up panning out. But when you see a lot of the supplemental draft stuff, or even guys that are being picked up as part of previous trades, like somebody is drafted and given to a team, or they had to, you know, go down lower in the draft or take a later pick, that's because they previously had a trade that put them in that spot, and part of their trade was, you know, for a supplemental draft pick or something like that. So it gets very complicated, but in the end, it's like it doesn't really matter if you can't play or you can't succeed in those atmospheres anyway.
Yeah, there was I saw a kid, I think he was a second round pitcher out of Coleman, got drafted. So I didn't know if Josh
good,
knew him or not.
There's good baseball talent from Coleman, Alabama, I tell you what.
Absolutely. Laura, great stuff. Always good catching up. Look forward to doing it again next week.
All right.
Laura Rutledge with the SEC Network and ESPN joining us there on the phones. We thought the Stanley Cup discussion was over. We thought that had ended.
We had prayed it was.
We have a clip from the celebration in Pittsburgh and a local news team attempting to cover it. That's worth revisiting hockey again. We'll do that when we come back right after this. Harky, don't buy a boat until you get a Bucks quote. It's that easy. Go to BucksIsland.com, BucksIsland.com. Call 1-800-I'M-READY, 1-800-I'M-READY. Sizzling summer savings on Skeeter bass boats. We've mentioned the pontoon boats as well, cruisers, whatever you need. BucksIsland.com. Call 1-800-I'M-READY today. Less than perfect credit. That's all right. Give Bucks a try. Go by their showroom in Southside, Alabama, or call 1-800-I'M-READY. That's 1-800-I'M-READY. Find them on Instagram and Twitter at Bucks Island. Don't buy a boat until you get a Bucks quote. So, Pittsburgh Penguins back-to-back Stanley Cup titles. We often see guys, whether it's, you know, the local news or whoever, they go out and they want to be a part of these celebrations in the city. Of course, Pittsburgh wins their title in Nashville. It doesn't mean that the city of Pittsburgh's not going to go bananas.
Oh, no. You know they were having a watch. See, we only hear about the Nashville watch parties. I bet Pittsburgh was having a watch party, too.
Oh, yeah, it was sold out. But no one said that was amazing.
Yeah, but they're supposed to sell out, Cole.
Oh, okay. Now, if you were to go downtown in a bar district of a city that just won a major sports championship.
Uh-huh.
Asterisk major.
Call 5 million people
what
almost
what would you
watch
expect
this.
That to look like? What would you expect the scene to be?
I'd expect some drunkards, some yelling, some screaming, some maybe lighting things afire because I don't know why. Like, it was a big scene. Remember, it was when the Toronto Maple Leafs won a few years ago that we had that famous scene where the couple was, like, just sort of dry loving each other in the middle
wow.
of the street. Don't you remember that picture?
I guess, yeah.
You'll okay, bring that up for you. But it was, I think that was pretty much after a hockey championship. So I expect borderline rioting there.
Things are going to be a little bit out of control. Bob Allen is a reporter for a local news station in Pittsburgh. He was sent down to cover the celebration downtown after the second consecutive Stanley Cup was secured by the Penguins for KDKA, CBS affiliate. This is Bob down with, as Arkie would say, the drunkards.
Go get him, Bob.
Station. We have many more topics coming up, but right now we're going to take you live outside once again. Bob Allen is still on the south side and gauging the pulse of Penguin fans. So let's go to him now live. Bob?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, they're having a marathon celebration out here in the streets. They've been out here screaming and jumping up and down. Let's go, fans. Here we go. All night since the end of the game. It's really funny because it's really, really crazy. Bring that camera around and you see what happens. I'm not mad at any of these folks, but they really need to tone it down and let us do our thing. And it's been tough. Because they're just having such a great time. And
it's hold on. He's telling the crowd to tone it down?
They really need to tone it down and let us do our thing. So you've taken a camera and a reporter behind enemy lines with the drunkards, as Arkie Shea would say, after minutes after a title has been secured. And you're asking them to let you do your thing?
Okay.
I always figured that by taking a camera down in this area, that this is what you were kind of asking them to do.
Yeah, I think this was
you
their thing.
You wanted them to be idiots.
This is your thing.
To tone it down and let us do our thing, and it's been tough. Because they're just having such a great time.
It's been tough pointing this camera around.
Because they're just having such a great time. And it's great that the fans won. I'm real happy for them. But this celebration is ongoing. I don't think they want to go home. They have to be out of here in 90 minutes.
Now he's like threatening them.
I do enjoy the fact that it's like, they don't want to go home. But the police say 90 minutes you're out.
Is ongoing. I don't think they want to go home. They have to be out of here in 90 minutes because that's what the police department ordered.
So have your fun now. Have your fun now, hooligans. But in 90 minutes, the street going to be clean.
It does come across as a threat.
Is ongoing. I don't think they want to go home. They have to be out of here in 90 minutes because that's what the police department ordered. And they're going to bring the horses out here sooner or later to get these folks off the street. But in the meantime...
Hold on.
They're going to bring the horses out there to get the people off the street.
Do the horses do that?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Are they intimidating enough? Like, I feel like tear gas or something would be more intimidating than just horses.
No, they're bringing the horses out, Archie.
Move.
And they're going to bring the horses out here sooner or later to get these folks off the street. But in the meantime...
By the way, we're in like it's a 1 minute and 25 second clip. We're in a minute three. I feel like 50 seconds of this has been please stop celebrating and being loud. They're gonna try to stop you.
We need to do our thing. Horses are coming.
They're having a great time. Passing all these Mark Stanley cups around. Now you hear them chanting. We're gonna let you go back because.
Not often do you hear the reporter bailing out on a hit.
Oh, I love that.
Like, you usually only get a couple minutes or a couple seconds, so you want to drag it as long as you can. This guy's bailing out. I'm done.
Now you hear him chanting. We're going to let you go back because this has to end.
This has to end.
We're going to let you go back because this has to end.
This has to end. You've got to stop the madness.
Expecting is going to happen.
You've got to stop the madness. This has got to stop, guys. I know the police said 90 minutes. No, I can't give you 90 minutes.
They're bringing the horses.
I can't give you. By the way, that picture I found was from Vancouver after they lost to the Bruins, not Toronto. So my bad on that. But I showed you this photo. You had not seen this photograph.
I don't remember that.
That's what fans do. That's after they lost.
Well, you got to make yourself feel better.
So what I'm saying, because... As Bob will tell you.
Because this has to end.
It's got to end, guys. It's too much.
Oh, my goodness.
We're standing outside of bars after a championship, and we expected you to be well-behaved.
You guys are really noisy. Really noisy. You guys know it's Sunday night, right?
I just love that he's threatening them with the police have ordered them to leave, and the horses are coming. Oh, and yeah. This has to end.
We're going to bring the horses. We're going to bring the horses. You'll be sorry. Listen, have your fun now, silly folks.
He did say have your fun now, because the police have said this has to end at 90 minutes.
Yes. So, in fact, it's 89 now. It's 89, so just I'm counting it down.
What an idiot.
I love that.
All right, guys, I got to go back to you. I can't even. People were running in front of him. He's pushing them out of the way. That's fantastic.
This is madness.
Because this has to end.
Hey, he wasn't the only one that got mad over the weekend. Danica Patrick's upset, too.
Oh, boy.
We'll let you hear that when we come back.